Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
First Chronicles chapter 16, you have had to endure a lot of reading in First Chronicles of name after name after name after name. And finally, you break out of the first 10 chapters and you hear a little bit about something that David's doing, and then suddenly you're back into a list of names again. And then you're finding out about the number of the armed troops that have come to help David, and then you read a little bit more about the Philistines being defeated and things like that, and finally you read about David carrying the ark to a tent that he pitched for it, and now that you start reading about the people that keep the gates and the singers who sing on psalteries, and I mean you're just listening, you know, reading name after name after name, and then you get to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and you break out of that. And when you get to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you get to a psalm that David wrote when he delivered the ark to the tent that he had made for it and had sacrificed burnt offerings, burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. It was a good day. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord and set this psalm up for Asaph so that the Lord God could be praised. And in this psalm, which begins in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, and runs all the way down to verse 36, David really tells you an awful lot about God. As we saw in the prior broadcast, we learned about the God of praise and how to praise Him. And now we see in this broadcast that God is the God to seek. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verses 10 and 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verses 10 and 11. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. In those two verses, we are told three times to seek the Lord or seek His face. In those two verses, we are to glory in His holy name. We are to rejoice when we seek the Lord. We're to seek the Lord in His strength. We're to seek His face continually. He's the God to seek. You know, today I marvel, there are a lot of people in athletics and they talk about God helping them. But you know, they're not necessarily talking about the same God that you and I are talking about right now here in the Bible. There are a lot of people that call a lot of things God. As a matter of fact, you have a group of people that are helping others deal with addictions, and they say that God is the God as we understand Him, and He's not the God of the Bible, oftentimes. Then you have people that call what they worship God, but they could be Buddhists, or they could be Muslims, or they could be Hindus, or they could be New Age. You don't know. But here in this psalm, David is telling you to seek the Lord. And listen, when he tells you to seek the Lord, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. There's a very specific person he's talking about, the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, Jehovah, the Father of Jesus Christ, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's talking about that God, the Lord, L-O-R-D, Yehovah, some would say. They don't even know how to pronounce it. I say that because those are the four Hebrew radicals that make up His name. We just speak of Him as Lord. We speak of Him as God. But when I talk to you today about seeking the Lord, I'm not talking about a God as I understand Him, or a God of my own making, or a God that may be associated as a religious God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. And you know what? He is that God, the God of the Bible. He is the God to seek. That's right. We are told in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, we are told to seek the Lord. And when you seek Him, when you seek the Lord of the Bible, there are three things of His that you want to seek. First of all, you want to seek His name. That's right. You want to seek His name. You see, when Moses was talking with the angel of the Lord in the burning bush and given instruction to go and get Israel out of Egypt, he said, they're not going to believe me when I come to them and tell them that I've talked to the Lord. What is your name? And God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You are to seek His name. And the name that God identifies Himself by in the Old Testament in Exodus 3:14 is I am that I am. And when you think about that, that is a wonderful name. For one thing, it is a name with a tremendous amount of power in it. But another thing, He's always present. I am. In other words, when you're in something right now and you need God's help, you're not calling out to a God who will be when I get around to it. And you're not talking to a God who was in that I used to do great things. You're talking to a God who says, I am. In other words, He is right now, right here to help you. I am, He says. I am that I am. Meaning, no matter where you are in time, He's not limited by time. He is right there. He is where we're going. He is where we've been. He is where we are right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am. I am. You need me? I am. You see that? Seek His name. I am. You know, just dwell and meditate on that name for a little while. It will shock you, the power that's associated with that name. You know, when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas Iscariot came in there to kiss Him, to identify Him because He had betrayed Him to the soldiers. You know, Jesus Christ asked them, He says, whom do you seek? And, you know, the answer was Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus Christ answered and said, I am. The beauty of the King James Bible, the King James Bible will tell you when a word has been supplied for clarification, because it will put it in italics. So when you read in John chapter 18, and Jesus Christ has said, whom seek ye? In John chapter 18, verse 5, they answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. Now He is supplied, and it needs to be there. Okay? I am He. However, when you see I am, and He in italics, you know what He's saying? I am. He's saying I'm the same God as Exodus 3:14. I am God manifest in the flesh. Jesus saith unto them, I am. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them, and as soon then as he had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. I'm going to tell you something. There is some kind of power in that name. Then ask ye them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. You see it? And then He in italics. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. I love that verse. Because I am He is who He is, and yet I am. Oh, I love it. It's the tetragrammaton. It is the I am. You see, when He comes back to this earth, the Bible says that he hath a name written which no man knew but He Himself. You know what it is? I am. Because nobody knows how to pronounce the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton are the four Hebrew radicals that are translated L-O-R-D when you see that in your Bible. Because nobody knows how to pronounce it. Some say Yahweh, some say Jehovah, but they don't know. But He knows. Oh, how I love that name. Let me tell you something. Seek His name. You know Him best by Jesus Christ. And that's a good name. It's an excellent name. That is an exalted name, a name above every name. For at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's an exalted name. You know, they abused his name when he was here in the earth. That's right. They said all kinds of vile things about him when he was here in the earth. But let me tell you something. He who laughs last, laughs best. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he comes back with an exalted name. Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you something. I bow my knee to that name right now. You want to seek somebody? Seek Jesus Christ. Seek his name. That's what David said in this psalm here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. He said, seek his name. Seek his name. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. His holy name. Seek him. Why? It's a powerful name. You know, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray one day, and there was a guy there asking alms. And Peter said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. And up he came. I mean, he not only did he walk, he was leaping and walking and praising God. Well, that caused quite a stir. Everybody wanted to know, hey, how'd this happen? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Woo! Praise the Lord! He goes on to say in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, I'm telling you, you want to get some action, you want something to happen, you need a name, then you go to that exalted name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the name that is above all names. That's right. That is the principal name, the exalted name. Listen. That is a powerful name, exalted name. It's a protective name. You need help sometimes in a way where you have got to get out of the enemy's fire. It's just too tough. Things are coming at you from too many different directions, too many earthly and supernatural enemies. You know what David said in Psalm 18? I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Get that God. That's right. Because he, above all gods, has the name that will protect you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Bible says. Seek his name. That's what David says. His holy name. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you will glory in that name when he comes through for you. You will rejoice when he comes through for you. But that's not all. In this particular psalm, David says, seek the Lord, seek his name. The second thing he tells you to do is seek his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength, he says in 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek his strength. And you know what? You need his strength in the time of weakness. You know what happens to us oftentimes when we get into a temptation, we get into a trial, we get into a difficulty, we get into a hardship. You know what we do? We cry out and we ask the Lord to take the trial away, take the temptation away, take the hardship away. But oftentimes what the Lord does is he allows you to go through the hardship, to go through the temptation, to go through the trial. Why? Because he wants you to know how to live without having that thorn taken away. He wants you to learn how to live dependent upon his strength and not your own. And the way that he does that is he weakens you so that you quit looking for relief from the pressure and start looking for strength from his grace. Like Paul has taught us so well in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he came looking for the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. And he besought the Lord three times for this. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Do you see, Paul quit praying for the Lord to take away the infirmities, the reproaches, the necessities, the persecutions, the distresses. He said, I'm beginning to take pleasure in these things. And you say, how could that possibly be? Because he says, those things weaken me, but then when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. How? Through the strength of the Lord God. Through the strength of the Lord God. So we're too quick to ask the Lord to take away the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 tell us that time of weakness is mitigated by the strength of God. And you know something? The whole triune God gets involved in strengthening you when you seek the strength of the Lord. You're strengthened by the Father, you're strengthened by the Son, and you're strengthened by the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? Listen, there are a lot of things that Jesus does that God doesn't need to do because Jesus has done them for you. There's a lot of things the Spirit of God does that Jesus and God don't need to do for you. I'm talking about God the Father. They're all God because the Spirit has done all that needs to be done for you. But boy, when it comes to you getting strength, they all get involved. David said in Psalm 71, verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." Psalm 71, verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." Now, let me ask you something. If you knew you could face any circumstance in the strength of the Lord God, what is there that you would ever face that you couldn't get through? Nothing. Because there's nothing in the universe stronger than the Lord God. Isn't that a remarkable thing? When you cry out to God and seek His strength and God Almighty replies, then you don't have anything else to worry about because you've got the strength of the Lord God on your side. Like David facing Goliath, you could face anything, because you've been strengthened by God Almighty. But that's not all. When you cry out to God for His strength, let me tell you something. You can also depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ getting involved in strengthening you as well. You know what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, wait a minute. What was he limited in? Well, according to what he said here, nothing. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You say, well, wait a minute. There's got to be some. No. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And in this context, he's talking about being abased and abounding and being content. And I'll guarantee you, there are a lot of people that need to be strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ to learn contentment. That's right. But may I tell you something else? God the Father and God the Son are not the only two that get involved in strengthening you when you seek the Lord, when you seek His strength. According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened, listen, strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So the Spirit of God gets inside of you and strengthens you as well. Now, the more that I'm preaching this, the more I am getting excited about what I'm telling you and getting excited about what I'm seeing in the Scripture. So often when you need help, you know what happens? You start running to people. You run to the phone. You run to the computer. You run to the email. You run to your social network to let everybody know. Whoa, stop. Before you do any of that, seek the Lord. Seek His name. Get "I am" on your side. Get the name of Jesus Christ on your side. And then seek His strength. And go in the strength of the Lord God. Do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. And be strengthened by might in the inner man by the Spirit of God. And then go And see, and you know what? All you may be doing on social network after that is just praising God for his strength. We're told to seek the Lord in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. We glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, so I can seek his name. I can seek the Lord in his strength. And then, in verse 11, seek his face continually. You say, well, I can't see him. He says, seek his face continually. You know what? If David said, seek his face continually, then you know what I would do if I were you? I would seek his face continually. You say, well, will it do me any good? I believe it'll do you a great deal of good. You say, how? Listen, you know the way people deal with problems today? They magnify the problem. I do it, you do it, we've all done it. We don't intend to, but we just do. And listen, if you are dealing with a problem and you magnify that problem, you know what? God gets very little and the problem gets very big. That's just the way anxiety works. It's the way that fear works. It's the way that worry works. So what do? Instead of becoming desperate and anxious about the problem, seek his face. Gaze at the Savior and glance at the problem. That's right. Gaze at the Savior, glance at the problem. In other words, if you turn your face toward the face of the Lord God, I realize he's invisible, you can't see him, but you've turned your face to him as if you want to see his face, and you magnify him, guess what? That problem's going to get real small. Even though it hasn't changed in magnitude at all, it's just God got real big in the face of now what has become a very small problem. You know, it was a big deal. The splinter in your finger is a big deal, even though it's very small, because it hurts and it's magnified by the pain. All you can think about is, I need to get this splinter out of my finger. But you know something? If you could turn your mind and away from that and quit rubbing it with your finger and irritating it, pretty soon you would forget that it was in your finger, because it's really not that big a deal. It's a splinter. It's little. Deal with it later. Or leave it alone and let your body deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a whole lot more going on in life than the little thing that bothers you, and the way to keep it small is gaze at the Savior, glance at the problem. But that's not all. The work of the Spirit of God in us is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. When we get saved, as we've mentioned before, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know what the verse is that follows that in Romans 8:29? The verse says this. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, when you seek the face of the Lord, you are being conformed to the image of the Lord God. You say, in what regard? You are changing. Your countenance changes, your eyes change, your thoughts change, your affections change, your desires change, your aspirations change. Your concentration changes, your direction changes, everything about you changes. You say, why is that? Because you are being changed by looking at the face, the glorious face of your Savior. Look at it with me in 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you see what you just read there? When you behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter that everybody loves to quote. The one on charity, really. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 12. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Do you see that? We're looking, and it's like we're looking through a glass darkly. In other words, you can't see his face per se. But when you seek his face, your face changes. You become like him. You say, I don't get it. I'll tell you how you get it. You get your face in the Word of God. That's right. You get your face in the Word of God. And God will change your countenance. He will change your mind by the renewing of your mind. He will change your spirit. He will change you. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Well, if looking into the word is like beholding his natural face in a glass, then when you look into the perfect law of liberty, it's like beholding the face of the Lord God in a glass. And it changes you into the same image from glory to glory. Oh my, oh my. David really had something for us when he said, "Seek the Lord," in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. He said, "Glory in his holy name, so seek his name. I am the Lord Jesus Christ, the exalted name, the name above every name. Seek that name. Bow before that name. Seek his strength. Go in the strength of the Lord God. Do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Be strengthened by might in the inner man by the Spirit of God." And then seek his face. Get in this Bible and tell the Lord, "Listen, while I'm in here, I don't want to just read words, although that words are beautiful. I want to see you. Reveal yourself to me in the words of God, like you did to Samuel. You revealed yourself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. Reveal yourself to me here and change me, that I may be like you. Seek his face continually and change me, that I may be conformed to your image." And let me tell you something. As you seek these three things, don't concern yourself with seeking anything else. Don't concern yourself with seeking anyone else. Seek him. "Seek ye him while he might be found." And I'll tell you what, God will bless you abundantly. God will bless you abundantly if you will do just that. Praise the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.